Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. This weekend show, we're going to be jumping around to a number of different sectors, trying to isolate maybe any opportunities that investors could have in a wide range of sectors that, unfortunately, it seems like pretty much everything is in a bit of a bear market. Energy, though, still continues to be the outperformer, although that's even started to pull back now, really, I think, just being taken with the rest of the markets and how weak everything has been, all with this backdrop of central banks continuing to tighten monetary policy. You take money out of the markets, well, markets seem to fall. We're kicking off this weekend show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, the real theme, it seems to be, of these markets, again, are bear markets across the board, and commentators trying to find these little relief rallies or counter trend moves. But it really doesn't seem to me like anybody's getting too bullish on the long side. How have you been playing these markets recently, where at least it seems like early on this month, we seem to be getting at least a little bounce in a lot of different sectors?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think you hit it on the head. The theme of the past week or two has really been counter trend, whether it's stocks in which, you know, we're in a bear market. At least we would deem it a bear market. The bounce over the last week or so, I think is just a counter trend, another bear market bounce. We don't see any evidence from any of our quantitative indicators or on the charts that this is, you know, more of a sustainable, durable, intermediate term rally or bull market. I think this is more or less a counter trend or mean reversion type of a bounce that we are more apt to be selling into or shorting into. And the same thing goes for some of the other asset classes. You had the monster rally in commodity-related assets, inflation-related assets. That is deflating. That trend is deflating right now. But in the longer term, from a longer-term perspective, I don't think necessarily that long-term uptrend is over. I think this is a counter-trend pullback. I think positioning got a little bit too extended. People got a little bit over-leveraged. Some of the Johnny-come-latelys to the trend got in, started chasing these markets too far, too fast, and the market's always going to punish you for that. So I think this is more or less a counter-trend move there. And same thing with pullback in yields, bond yields. I think that's a counter-trend pullback. I think while there might be more to go on the downside, I think longer term the trend is still higher. So overall, I think the trends, long-term trends, are still in place. On a shorter-term basis, I think the momentum in the near term is with those counter-trend moves until it shakes enough people out. And then once that happens, then we can resume that longer-term trend across the assets.
Yeah, it's an interesting market, Dana, because things that are in a new bear market, like the general equities, they're bouncing. Things that are in a longer-term secular bull market, like the commodities, they're correcting. Things like interest rates that are going up, as you mentioned, and probably will go up for some time if the bond bubble has burst, they're pulling back. So in these kind of counter-trend moves, what kind of actions are you taking? Are you playing it for the short blips, you know, to the upside in the stocks or shorting the commodities, or are you mostly to the sidelines? How are you approaching your portfolio management?
Just trying to be nimble, for one, not get too aggressive in these types of moves. As a manager that has that adopts a lot of trend following type of strategies, you're going to get dinged up a little bit in these types of moves when you're, say, buying the dips in an uptrend and Okay, those that key support level that you thought would be a good dip buying area, that prices just blew right through that. So you're going to get dinged a little bit in those times, but it's better to take your lumps once those areas are broken, blow out of those positions, wait for better positions to or better levels into which to re-enter the markets. So you got to be nimble. And like we talked about last, I think last time, you know, when you have these counter trend moves and this volatility, it's best to wait, and you don't have that type of clarity. Best to wait for, you know, those fat pitches. Don't get too aggressive and too impatient and looking for something to buy. If you are, like we are in the commodity space, for example, you know, we're still longer term bulls. Right now, the counter trend momentum is obviously to the downside. Once some of those initial key support levels and many of those commodity markets were broken, then it became clear, okay, there's more momentum to the downside in this counter trend move than we thought there might be. So best to wait for more substantial support levels lower, be more patient for more of a fat pitch than you would be before, when every small dip was being bought and immediately rallying. So better be patient, wait for better, like I said, better pitches, fatter pitches to hit than being hyper aggressive in this type of environment. But being nimble, taking some surgical strikes here and there, while also being overall very defensive right now, I think is the best strategy to take in a market like this. Right now, for example, our model has about 50% in cash. So we've got a ton of cash waiting, you know, for the right opportunity. This is the most cash we've had probably in years after having a very opportunistic market for a couple of years. Got a lot of cash right now waiting to deploy, but trying to be patient in waiting for those opportunities to deploy it.
So cash continues to be really critical for investors because of the fact that it sounds like we might still see some broadly lower prices, but bounces along the way. Let's get into the commodities, starting off with energy, because energy really was the standout commodity, I think, recently, especially the oil price. That made a run up close to, I think, a little over 120, back down to about 100 now. The stocks, that's also been beneficial, where the stocks joined in on that rally and really went higher. They skyrocketed higher, have shown some weakness recently. What's your outlook for the energy sector, more specifically oil?
Yeah, generally the same as the comments I made in commodities in general. You know, I think longer term, we're still in a bull market in the commodity space, including oil and including energy stocks. In the short term, we're in a pretty sharp, pretty violent type of a counter trend pullback. So I think, like I said, investor positioning got a little bit too skewed to the long side. So some of those late comers are being punished right now. I think the momentum in the near term is still to the downside. So right now, while longer term, we're still bulls in the space, I think that we'll see in the short term, I think we'll see lower prices below those recent lows of the last few days before we see potentially an ultimate bottom put in place for this counter trend pullback. But once that occurs, again, I think there's more upside to come in the long-term bull market there.
Dana, let's also talk about the precious metals. A lot of our audience is keen to talk about gold, silver, and the mining stocks. How are you seeing those set up? You had mentioned off mic that you thought silver actually was closer to a bottom than gold. That's an interesting take. Just love you to break that down for our audience.
Sure. Just on a technical basis, looking at, we trade for our clients all ETFs. So looking at the SLV, got very close recently, the last few days, to a key spot where we're looking to add a little bit more exposure to that. We've got a small position there, looking to add a little bit more exposure there to the SLV, which tracks silver around that 1740 level. So not too far away from that. Whether it holds there or not, we're not sure, obviously, but from a risk-reward standpoint, I think it's a good spot to start adding a little bit back there. As far as gold and specifically the GLD, I think it's got a little bit further downside to go before attractive risk reward buying levels for us, which right now would be down around that 158-ish level in GLD, down from trading around 162, 163, I think, right now. So being patient a little bit further for a little bit further downside there in that market before adding further exposure there. But again, I think this is, there's no evidence being flashed to us yet that this is, you know, that the bull market is over for gold or silver or the precious metals in general. So I think once we do put in a nice intermediate term bottom, it might actually end up being a longer term bottom. You might eventually see that next leg up in that long term bull market. And that would mean, you know, new highs breaking in gold, for example, breaking those highs that we saw this year in 2020 and similar highs that we saw, you know, a decade ago.
Well, that would sure be encouraging. Now, do the gold stocks or the miners follow along? Because they have, unfortunately, generally been weak, even when gold ran to some of those all-time highs recently. The mining stocks, if you're looking at GDX, it was still well off of their all-time highs of back in about that 2011 time frame. How do you see GDX playing out?
Sure. You know, the miners have, you know, had a couple headwinds facing them, very recently, including obviously the pullback in the precious metals prices, gold and silver, the commodities themselves. But, you know, they've had the headwind all year of an equity bear market. So, you know, while they are heavily tied to, you know, resource prices, they are still equities, which in a bear market, an overall bear market, that is going to put downward pressure on them, no matter what subsector they're in. So that has been a challenge for them. But we do see, like gold and silver, we do think a new up leg to that longer term bull market is on its way. They did, the miners themselves or the ETFs did break some key support levels about a week ago, which had us basically stopping out of the rest of our miners exposure for now, opened up further downside before we thought there might be a better opportunity to get back in. So on something like GDX, for example, we're looking down after breaking that, you know, around that 29-ish level, that opened up further downside down towards about 25.40 or so. So we're looking around that 25-ish range to start adding some exposure back to GDX. But right now, I think too much risk here in the short term to be to start getting back in.
Well, Dana, one other one we should probably cover in the commodity space is the base metals, and probably the king of the base metals is copper. I think you follow copper pretty closely. Some people are saying they think it's getting ready to bounce, but I'm not sure if you're sold on that idea. So just share with us your outlook on the red metal.
Yeah, copper's in a lot of the in the same camp, you know, as a lot of the commodities that had a huge run. And like I mentioned to you guys before, that markets that have huge moves one way are going to be subject to sharp and potentially painful mean reversion moves. So that's what we're seeing right now. Right now, I think in the long term, I think this pullback's still a counter trend move. In the long term, the uptrend is still in place. However, in the short term, the momentum is such that it would not surprise me. In fact, it would lower lows would not surprise me. It would surprise me if we didn't see lower lows here coming up at some point in the near term in copper, in commodities in general, before a sustainable low is put in place and we can start rallying again. Again, this move has happened so fast that I think a lot of investors that, like I mentioned before, were late to the commodity rally, only started buying in when inflation started hitting the headlines and became the story, the thesis became mainstream. So they started piling into the commodities way late into the rally. And I think a lot of that has to still be wrung out before we have a decent sustainable low in place. And I think that's going to be, it's going to require a little bit more of a process of selling and testing lower lows before that bottom is in place.
All right, Dana, how about tech? Because, look, tech really out of the broad averages has sold off the most. The NASDAQ from peak to recent bottom, almost 35% down. It's rebounded about 5.5% so far just this month. But again, seems very much still like a bear market rally, dead cat bounce. Do you see any opportunity in tech? Because it was a leader. It led now to the downside. Maybe on bounces, it could lead a bit more to the upside.
Sure. You know, in long term, no, I don't. We still don't like tech because it did go so far to the upside. I think there's more pain to come. And we are secular stock market bears. I think there's a lot more pain to come over the next maybe couple of years. But tech, following along with basically the inverse of the commentary on commodities, you know, tech has gotten hit the hardest, sold off the most. Areas like the internet, or you look at take the ARK Innovation Fund, for example, that just got obliterated. The more violent the move to the downside, the more violent the mean reversion bounces will be. So any dead cat bounce, bear market bounce, mean reversion bounce, you're going to see tech and growth try to lead the way. And those does not mean that the bear market is over. It doesn't mean that the long-term downtrend is over. But during these counter-trend bounces, you might see, you know, some outperformance in some of those spaces that have gotten hit so hard just because they've gotten hit so hard. So there is some action on the charts that has enticed us to put on, you know, a couple trades on the long side, just because there might be a little bit more juice in the tech space, in the growth space, in some of these counter trend bounces. But from a longer term perspective, unless you're super nimble, super active, I would continue to stay away from that area of the market, the NASDAQ tech growth space, and continue to sell or even hedge your portfolio into bounces, into resistance there.
Well, Dana, that was kind of my next logical point, was if you think that this is a relief rally in the general markets and in sectors like tech, and there's a lot of other ones in the general markets that are bouncing right now that had been punished for the last 6 to 8 months, would you start reshorting those at a certain point if they hit a certain resistance level? And what level would you be looking at if you were going to short some of them again as a hedge?
Sure, absolutely, we would. And we are, you know, our portfolio is pretty hedged, pretty defensive right now. And now that you mentioned the NASDAQ, you know, this counter trend move, this bounce in the NASDAQ 100 has pretty much brought it right to a spot where we'd be looking to sell, especially if you're long and you're looking for, okay, I need a bounce to get out of it. Right now, I would take that opportunity to get out of that. If it keeps going, so be it. But there's, at this point in the short term, I think there's a lot more downside now, despite how bad we've gotten beat up all year. I think in the near term, there's more downside right now in the short term after this bounce that we've had than there is upside, at least from a risk-reward standpoint. So this is one spot. Or if you're looking, if you're substantially long, you're looking for a spot to put on a hedge, this isn't a bad spot in the NASDAQ to add a little bit of hedge to your portfolio in case, you know, we do get another down move here in the short term, which would not surprise me. So NASDAQ 100 right now is trading around, call it 12,175, is around that resistance spot I'm talking about. It's got downside to us down near about 10,600. So that would be a pretty painful move to sit through. So I would be, we would be sellers right at this time.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Always interesting comments. And I always find it fascinating just how you are reading these markets. Big theme being we're still, it seems like, in bear markets with odd little relief rallies here and there, and bear markets. Well, this one's already lasted pretty long, and we still haven't even had kind of that capitulation event. Who knows if we'll even get that, but this theme of lower prices and bear market rallies, any rallies really not being believed, seems to continue now in the second half of the year. Dana, thanks for your time. As always, buddy, great chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat in another couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.